We'll take your Bibles, open to Acts 27. I'm glad that the Pastor Appreciation Day was not today. Okay. You know, I'd hate for y'all to have to celebrate and eat without me, but anyway, we appreciate your prayers. We'll look at part two, the voyage of life, in Acts 27. There's something Paul said here that we might pass by it quickly, but it was profound. It was so profound that it is what separates people from those who feel the comfort and strength that God gives and those who don't. I want you to begin with me. Let's notice in verse number 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." If you remember in this text of Scripture, Paul had admonished them before they ever left that he had perceived that it would not be a good voyage, but there would be a loss and much damage and also of our lives. But you remember the pride, the human spirit, the captain, the owner, and the crew trusted in their own knowledge and their own experience rather than listening to Paul. And I'll remind you again that Paul, listen, had a testimony. Paul was a man who was walking with God. Paul was a man who had fame had reached concerning him. And so they gave no respect whatsoever to Paul when he spoke, indicates here that it was kind of that response that all that religious stuff, bunch of nonsense anyway. And so they begin to sail off on their voyage. And in verse 13, supposing they had obtained their purpose because the south wind blew softly, they were traveling along, and you could see their pride, their arrogancy, as everything just fine, like we said it would be. But then not long after, we see the great storm had come against them. And we found last week in the storm that they had lost their control of the ship. They had lost their cargo. They had lost coordinates. They didn't know where they were. And they had lost all comfort and consolation. They'd given themselves up to be dead. Men are optimistic. But here, the Bible said in verse 20, that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And so God set the stage for the Apostle Paul to come. And as he did, he brought a message to them. And here's what he said. He said that God has spoken. That God has a message. Paul had been, after a long absence, he'd come and stood forth in the midst of them. And there instructed them of what God has said. And I want to key your attention to verse number 25. Because as I read that, I thought, now that truly is profound and explains so much today. The Bible said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Did you notice what he said? "For I believe God." Now, we might normally reference that by saying that I believe in God. And if you were to take a survey today, I'm sure you'd find an overwhelming majority of people who believe in God. Out of the, 276 people on board this ship, I'm sure there were a number of them. If you asked them, "Do you believe in God?" they would have said yes. And you and I, we look at America and the condition that it's in today, and if we ask them, "Do you believe in God?" most of them say yes. But we find here the Apostle Paul signals something. He said, "For I believe God." And what that is, that was, of course, implied that God had told him something, that God had said something, that God had revealed something. We know Romans 1 teaches us that the creation of this world speaks to man's conscience, that there is a God, that there is a great power, a great intelligence to put together this great creation, and that convicts all men's consciences today. It is the evidence and testimony of God. And so we find that many people believe in God. Brother Charles has been preaching in the jail. I'm sure if he went up and down the jail, how many believe in God? Most of them say yes. If you and I were to go down, hopefully not, but visit the local bar on Friday night and ask the people inside, how many believe in God? Most of them probably say yes. But we find that that belief in God has made no difference in their lives. It is what we find is a practical atheism. That is, you can believe in God, but if it makes no difference in your life, then in practice it's no different than atheism. And so we find here that the Apostle Paul here is emphasizing what James brought out. James says, thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. James is he is explaining the fact that without faith, faith that did not produce works was empty and vain and void. And just because they believed in God, listen, he reminded them the devils believe in God. They have not been reconciled unto God. They have not been redeemed. They're still in their rebellious state and still committed their lives to wickedness and evil, but they do believe in God. And so James is teaching us that faith without works is dead, being alone. That is, faith brings that belief down to our lives and impacts our life, that it changes our course, that through it you and I are saved and converted by the power of God. And so I'm reminded the Bible teaches us in these last days God has spoken unto us through His Son. And the Apostle Paul here just didn't give a general universal concept of a belief in God, but here's what he said, for I believe God. I believe God. I believe what God has said. God spoke to him that night. God there sent the angel of the Lord and told him not to fear, that they would be saved and all that were with him would be saved from it all. And so he said, I believe God, what God has said. It's amazing today how many who claim a belief in God but don't believe what God is saying. And you and I understand that in this text of Scripture, the comfort here that the Apostle Paul offered them was because he believed in what God has said. And so he comes to them in verse number 24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with him. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. He was offering comfort to these troubled souls, who the storm was so severe they had given up all hope that they would survive, that we'd all be lost at sea. But Paul comes and gives them a comfort. How was he able to comfort them? Because he believed what God is saying. And notice what he says also. He said, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That is a future reference. That is a prophecy. That is looking ahead. That it shall be exactly as God has said. And so on that context, he offers great comfort to those people because God has spoken to us. The Bible reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 that our God is the God of all comfort. The Bible said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God desires to bring comfort to men. I don't know about you, but I certainly need comfort. Okay? And we all seek for comfort. When you've had a bad day and difficulties, you know what sometimes we do? We look for comfort foods. It's the time we're most likely going to break our diet. I did something unusual the other night. Was it Friday night? Friday night, well, I was in bad shape. And I told Ron, when you come back, bring me an ice cream. I'm like, I ain't had ice cream on the wind. But anyway, bring me an ice cream. And I ate about half of it. Gave me the chills. Wished I hadn't eaten it. But anyway, I was after some comfort food. The Bible speaks of the comfort of the Scriptures. Listen, when you and I come and gather in the house of God, I am comforted by the Scriptures. What God has said. I know we're all a little hard-headed, but I need to be reminded all the time that God loves me. I need that. I need to understand that He's made provision for me through Jesus Christ, my Savior. I need to be reminded of how great He is and what He has done in the lives of others and how that He has shown mercy and grace, to those who had failed, to those, who had stumbled on the way, to those who were just men. God has shown mercy and grace to them. And what comfort you and I get out of the Scriptures. You and I realize that many of those people who profess a belief in God, if they were here in the house of the Lord, they'd be squirming this morning. Why? Because the thought of being in God's house and the thought of worshiping God and the thought of preaching the Word of God and singing the songs did not bring them comfort. You know why? Because they don't believe what God has said. God has said that, so we be comforted. God had a message. God has a message to those who have transgressed His law. God has a message to those who failed, to those who've sinned against Him, to those who've gone astray. To those who are lost in darkness. God has a message, and it's a message of great comfort that God will redeem, that God will save, that God will restore, that God will reconcile. What a comfort you and I have. The Apostle Paul brought comfort to these men. You know why? Because he believed what God had said. And then I also find this chapter, it also brought the Apostle Paul great courage. The Bible said in verse 21 that he stood forth, and as he shared to them, he stood forth in the midst of them, the Bible says here. And why? Because the Bible said that God stood with him, the angel of the Lord, for there stood by me this night the angel of God. Paul was courageous to stand with his message because he knew the desperation of these people. He knew, the panic. He knew the dread. He could see it. And he brought them a message, not only of comfort, but a message of courage. Apostle Paul was willing to stand up. You and I certainly do. We not see the situation in our country today. And we see the ship is sinking fast. And Apostle Paul aboard this vessel, these men, this boat was sinking fast. Things were not good. The Apostle Paul stood up, had something to say. You know why? Because he believed what God has said. You and I, we need that courage. That courage comes from knowing that God has said it, and knowing that it shall be. You and I, we have families and friends, and we have acquaintances, we have a community we live in, and we're devastated by what we see happening today. We see the destructions of things that are precious and dear. I see God's beautiful plan of the family being destroyed one step at a time. We've seen holy matrimony now being devastated. We see what's happening, the lives of children and others. What a horrible mess that the world is in. And God help us to have courage. Why? Because the ship is sinking. It's sinking and sinking fast. And God, to give us courage now to stand up and tell them, thus saith the Lord, and not be ashamed, for it is the very word of God. It's what God has to say. And so the Apostle Paul stood forth with courage. I also find out that Paul also was filled with compassion. If you notice here in verse number 25, he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be, even as it told me. Notice here, the Apostle Paul did not have to say anything to them. God had met with him and told him, that he would have to appear before Caesar. He knew his life would be saved. He knew he had an appointment with Caesar. He knew God's plan. But yet, the Apostle Paul had a desire to alleviate the sufferings and the fears of these men. And so we find here that God moved upon him and God gave him the precious truth. And listen, that led to a compassion. If you notice verse 33, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is 14th day that you've tarried, continue fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from your head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broke it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. You'll find out the Apostle Paul had compassion upon these men. I'm sure that there would be many who would think, well, listen, they just get what they deserve. They didn't listen to start with. They can just stew in their own juice. They have made their own bed. They can lie in it. But the Apostle Paul had compassion upon them. You know why? Because the Apostle Paul once also walked in darkness. And he too, listen, believed in God. He too was zealous in his religion, but he didn't know the truth. And he found out that God had mercy upon him. And as he often mentioned, that he was the chief of sinners, but that God, listen, had called him and used him to carry the gospel to the world. And so the Apostle Paul knew what God had said. And because he believed what God had said, God had given him a great compassion for the lives of others. Boy, we live in a mean world. We live in a very self-centered, selfish world. And it's become strictly a dog-eat-dog society that we live in today. But it's always refreshing when someone comes along and shows that Holy Spirit kindness and love and consideration, compassion for others. You know why people do that? Because they believe what God has said. They believe what God is saying. Listen, if you believe what God has said, it'll give you compassion for the lives of others. Even though they deserved it, so did I. So did I. But thank God he had compassion upon me. And you certainly can have compassion upon others. I want you to notice also the Apostle Paul, being that he believed what God has said, it also gave him conviction. Look at verse 31. Paul said the centurion to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Notice that the Apostle Paul had been given clear instructions about the salvation of their lives. And one of the clear instructions were that they must stay in the ship. If they didn't stay in the ship, listen, it would cost their lives. And so he told them, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. The Apostle Paul was given specific instructions, and he believed what God has said, and so he went and gave them the message. He went and told them with great conviction, if you leave this ship, then you will die. You must abide in this ship. You see, because you and I believe what God has said, it gives us conviction. There are things that you and I understand that God has required. There are many musts in the Scriptures. And you and I understand that we must be born again. That is not an option. We have a Bible filled with thus saith the Lord. We have a Bible filled with the principles of morality and righteousness that God has established. And so, listen, because I believe what God has said, I'm not confused as others are as to what is right and what is wrong. We are in a society today where every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. We live in a society today where immorality has run rampant. And where all around us people are transgressing the law of God and living according to the carnality of their flesh. And we have a society that's rewritten the rules today as to what is right and what is wrong. The Apostle Paul was a man of conviction. Why? He believed what God has said. I don't have any problem today of believing that a man and a woman ought to be married before they have a time of intimacy. Why? Because my Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me about fornication. We live in a society today who thinks nothing of it. You and I, we have convictions today. I believe that God's people ought to worship Him and ought to be faithful in the house of God. I have a conviction about that. I have a conviction about many things in the Bible. Why? Because God hath said. Isn't it amazing today that so many people would claim a belief in God but have no convictions about what is right and what is wrong? And seemingly do not have a standard by which they would teach others and reveal to others, this is right and this is wrong. You and I live today where society has opened up the door for acceptance of all things. We have today that the great essential doctrines of the Word of God now have been watered down and corrupted to open up possibilities for men to be reconciled unto the Holy God without going by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, without by faith in the sacrifice that He made for them, without acknowledging their sinful conditions. And so now, as long as someone is sincere, others would tell them that that's okay. Apostle Paul said, you leave this ship, you'll die. Why was he a man of such conviction? Because he believed what God has said. I'll tell you, if you believe what God has said, you will be a person of conviction. Now, there are things right and there are things wrong. And it matters not who will stand with you. Matters not, listen, whether society disagrees, whether the majority disagrees. Listen, we have conviction about it because God has said. You and I, we look around today in our society and we grieve over the things that are taking place. We look at the family unit and homes. We look at children's lives. We look at the corruption of society and the destruction of all these things that God has established. And yet, we ask those people, do you believe in God? Yes. You believe in God? Why don't you believe in what God has said? You see, when you and I believe in what God has said, it brings a comfort to our life, a courage to us, a compassion. It brings a conviction to our lives, and we live according to that, and it makes a difference in our lives through our faith in Christ. You and I have come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and know this great salvation of God, and have experienced that life-changing salvation that God brings to us because we put our faith in what God has said. I find many today who no longer believe in some of the great truths of the Bible. We have those who wander about telling us that there's no heaven, no hell. We have folks all around us today who tell us that Jesus Christ was not God. And we have all manners of perversions today. But I'll tell you, you and I have conviction. Why? Because we believe what God has said. I often marvel how that they will take something so clear in Scripture and they will find some liberal theologian with all of his degrees who will give some fancy explanation of why what you're reading is not actually what it says and try to explain away the Word of God. I'm glad that God, He gave us His Word that we might read it, that we might believe it. And the Bible says here in the Scriptures that sure enough, it all came to pass exactly as God had said. You and I are a people of hope because we believe what God has said. We are looking for the coming of our Savior. We're looking for Him any day. And as Paul said here, he said, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, that it shall be. One of the greatest things that plagues man and stirs his fear is the uncertainties of life. Listen, it haunts a man what's on the tomorrows. And listen, God has given us what shall be. I am comforted today, and I am encouraged, and God certainly brings conviction in my life when I think about and consider all that God has said that shall be. I know one thing for sure, that Jesus Christ will come and He will gather His church with Him, and we shall be delivered forever to be with Him. That shall be. I know this, that if a man puts his faith in Christ, believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall be saved. I'm thankful for the shall be's of Scripture. And listen, they become a great source of comfort to me. Why? Because I believe God that it shall be, even it was told me. As I mentioned in the introduction part of the service, the Apostle Paul made that statement that separated him and separates most people today. There are many, many upon many who believe in God, but there are not many who believe it shall be even as it was told me. For if that were true, they would be living according to what God is saying. I'm glad great is the reward of faith that God has for His children. Great is that reward, for it shall be even as it was told me.